It's a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Hello, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe and give this video the thumbs up. Make sure to hit the like button. I'm joined by my special guest, Ivan McDull, who is an author, is an Aston Villa fan, and he is a contributor on the UTV fan channel. I'll be interviewing Ivan about his new book that he's released, which is called Only the Real Thing, which is about Aston Villa's successful period in the 1990s, with their two cup wins in 1994 and 1996. It's a pleasure to have you, Sam Ivan. How are you?
Hello, Chad. Yeah, thank you very much for having me, mate. I'm good. I'm a bit under the weather, actually, but I'm not too bad. Really looking forward to the opportunity to talk to you today about the book, yeah.
Well, you feel better soon.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say, before we get started, congratulations on the new book.
It's mad, isn't it, really? It's been a surreal couple of weeks, like since it first came out, Chad. And you know, I think when you described me as an author and an Aston Villa fan, I think probably Aston Villa fan first. Yeah. And have happened to have had the opportunity to write a book about something I love. It's been a mad couple of weeks, but you know, enjoying the ride so far.
It's nice as well to write something about what you're passionate about, something that you enjoy. It's sort of easier to talk about things like that.
Yeah, it does help, and I think that, you know, I lived, you know, as you said, the book covers a period of time between 93 and 96, which, you know, I lived as a Villa fan and was at both cup finals. Yeah. You know, and I suppose as a relatively, you know, as a teenager at the time, it was quite a defining part of my life and sort of experiencing Villa as part of that. So then to be able to get to write about it was fantastic.
You got that Roy Atkinson. Yeah, Brian Little, they were sort of the managers during that period. I mean, look back to that period, you know, it's nostalgic times.
That is the word, Chad. Nostalgia is absolutely the word. And I think that it brought back so many, you know, happy memories, you know, for me of that time. And like you say about the managers, the players. And I think that, you know, often, you know, when you first start watching football, that's what defines kind of your love of the club. And for me, it was that era. I mean, I first went to Villa Park in 1990. Just at the kind of, you know, post-Italia 90, really. You know, that kind of captured my imagination. So, you know, and went only a few times, really. But then obviously in the season that we finished second in the Premier League, then the following year went on to win the first Coca-Cola Cup. And those were times when, you know, that was my, when I suppose I fell in love with our football club, really, Chad. So yeah, it was, wasn't easy to write a book about it, but it certainly helps when you're something that you're so into, you know?
Well, 1996, that was the year I was born. Oh, the last time we won a trophy.
You making me feel old now, Chad. And the last year we won a trophy. So the year you were born and the last year we won a trophy. I mean, that is crazy, isn't it? That it's, you know, I think I say in the book, like if someone had told me at Wembley in 96, we just played Leeds off the park Savo, Taylor, and Dwight York, the goal scorers. If someone had said to me, fast forward 30 years, or just under, and Villa won't have won a major trophy, I'd have thought, you're mad, you know. I've been here twice in the past 3 years watching us win the League Cup. It's all ahead of us. So I think it is, and that's why I think, that's why the idea of the book came around. Because if you remember, there was a lot of debate, and amongst Villa fans, what would people prefer, to finish in the top four or win a trophy? And I just think you can't replicate that idea of winning a trophy. I mean, I'm sorry you've never seen it, Chad. And I hope
one of these trophies, as a fan, trophies, you get memories. You want to see memories as a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at Newcastle yesterday. I mean, I imagine they're still enjoying themselves now. But, that is, it's those.
It's incredible.
We've got great memories of the Champions League, don't get me wrong, but there's something really defining about winning a trophy. And I think that, I guess to write a book about it 30 years later shows why that's important. So.
And going back to what you said about Newcastle, I think after Villa, they need to take a leaf out of Newcastle's book. If they can do it, there's no reason why we can't win the FA Cup, sir.
Oh, no. Can you imagine, Chaz? I mean, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to Preston. And, we've got a great opportunity then to get to the semi-final. But we should take nothing for granted. I'm sure that Unai will take it absolutely seriously, though. And I think that, there was, you could tell what it meant for a lot of people yesterday with Newcastle fans. That you can only imagine if that was us in Wembley in May. But let's see what happens.
See what happens. That one's been special. I mean, if you want to Unai Emery, that's all that's missing. The trophy. I think he will get it.
Yeah. Keep the faith, eh, Chad? Keep the faith.
That's what you got to do. So how long did it take to do the research and write the book?
Gosh, well, in some ways, the research was actually the harder and the longer process because, as much as we've said about having, when you love something, you think you remember it, but you don't. You don't remember all of it. And there are so many facts and sort of niche stuff around certain games or certain players, like when, what the lineups were for certain games. So that took me a long time to kind of get all that straight in my head because I think you often sort of remember certain games in a certain way and then realize that actually maybe that wasn't in that game. That was actually an FA Cup game from pre-season before and things like that. So you kind of, it melds into this, into one. So I think the research was really important in terms of pinning down almost just the real detail, Chad, of the seasons. So actually like what happened in each game. So that provides, I suppose, the structure, if you like. Then it was about putting it into something that is readable, I guess, because no one necessarily wants to just read about stats. So it was about telling a story at that point. And how I sort of tried to frame it was firstly around this idea of the choice between winning a trophy and finishing fourth, but also with the beginnings in 92 of the Premier League and what that meant and what that signified, I suppose, in terms of the changes at Villa. So it was all about sort of having a bit of a structure that followed, that took in all the information about the games, but also told the story of the time as well. And there's some, there's some sort of fairly, related chapters that aren't about the League Cup in the book. So for example, there's a chapter about the end of standing on the Holt End, for example. Which was a really important part of the story. Well, yeah, because obviously, post Hillsborough, the Premier League's regulations, it really about those things that defined the seasons beyond just the cup wins. So it's very much about that period of time. So it's about getting all the kind of the factual stuff, then getting it into that sort of narrative. And that's what takes time. I suppose the actual writing of it was fairly kind of not quick exactly, but once you kind of know one, or certainly how I work is once I know what it is I'm wanting to say, I can say it fairly quickly. So the preparation is the big stuff. And I think that then obviously when you've written it, you know, it goes through various, you know, I'm very lucky. My publisher is Pitch Publishing. Yeah. You know, a lot of sports books, and you know, they obviously proofread it, they edit it for me. You know,
was it your first book?
Yeah, and possibly the only one, Chad. Who knows? But yeah, it was my first book. So I do bits of writing for lots of people, but like shorter form stuff for magazines and things. But yeah, it was my first book. So if I'm honest, Chad, I didn't really know what I was doing. You know, yeah. People would say, "Oh, have you thought about this?" I mean, well, no, I haven't thought about that. I've never done it before. You know, so it's a massive learning curve. You know, I'm not sure if it makes me want to do it again or not, but we'll see. We'll see how this one
goes. When writing a book, people don't realize how much hard work goes into it.
Absolutely, Chad. And it is. It's getting all those things right, because you know, when you're writing about something like a football club, you know that people are going to be reading it. And if you've made a slight mistake about, I don't know, who was on the substitutes bench in the fourth round of the League Cup away at Stockport,
you get slated.
Someone's going to say, "Well, now hold on a minute. No, Mark Draper wasn't on the bench. It was, you know." So you've got to really make sure that it's spot on. And I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, maybe someone somewhere would find a mistake, but that's obviously where the publishers help as well, because they, you know, I had some corrections back at one point, and I'd listed a lineup for a game, but only mentioned 10 players, not 11. So it's really good that they, because often you get so used to reading your own work and you kind of miss stuff. So you get someone else to look at it, and then they can really kind of guide you a little bit and think, like, you know, think about this, think about that.
So how did the journey of you supporting Aston Villa, how did it start for you?
In terms of football, like Italia 90 was massive to me. I was eight. And I'd never really been that into football, but Italia 90 was just, I just loved it. And I actually loved Cameroon and Roger Meir, and England beat them in the quarterfinals.
That was a great tournament.
Oh, it was. It really captured my imagination. I remember playing in the school playground with a tennis ball, and everyone wanted to be Gascoigne and Lineker. So it was about, that's sort of where my interest in football started. And I remember thinking, oh, well, you know, Gascoigne and Lineker play for Spurs, so maybe I should be a Spurs fan. And my dad said to me, "Why do you want to be a Spurs fan? You live in the West Midlands." which was true. So he said, "Well, look, we'll go and watch some games." And the first game we went to was Villa. Yeah. And that was it, Chad. I remember that day so much. The things that, you know, the sights, the sounds, it was very, very different stadium to what it is now. And we sat in the old, well, what is now the Doug Ellis, the old Witten.
And did you stand?
No, well, I did at points. Yeah. I mean, we tended, when my dad took me and my sister, we'd tend to sit in the what is now the Doug Ellis. So it was just a one-tier Witten Lane at that point. When I was a little bit older and then I had season tickets, we were in the whole end. But yeah, I mean, it was, never kind of looked back really. So that was 1990, 1991. And then really, really started kind of.
Can you not tell me what you were? Was it David Platt?
Platt played one more season after Italia 90, because obviously he'd had a breakout time in Italy. He then played one more year for Villa and then went off to Bari. So that it was the tail end of Platt. And then obviously players at the time that did sort of last a little bit into then the era that the book covers. So you likes of Paul McGrath,
Oh,
Nigel
yeah.
Sheff, players like that. Dwight York was also around as a very young guy. Cyril Regis, Tony Daly, those sorts of players. So there was a,
Some talented players.
yeah, absolutely. And you can see, there is a little bit in the book about kind of beginnings of sort of 1990 to 1992, and you can see that trajectory of the players that Atkinson started to bring in that would kind of challenge for the league and then win that first League Cup. But then that Brian Little would almost really kind of go back to square one and completely change the team for the 96 final. So there was a big change of players in that time. And I think the type of player, Chad, as I mentioned, it's kind of relates to the Premier League and how much that changed things because, Savo Milosevic in 1996,
Oh,
was
the
a
Milosevic, yeah.
seemed a very exotic type player, whereas, '94 was perhaps your more Dean Saunders, Ray Houghton, that sort of player. So I think the changes at Villa kind of mirrored what was changing in the wider football world as well.
Yeah, the likes of Dorian Atkinson is sadly no longer with us.
Yeah, well, there's a lot, Chad. There's a lot of players at that time. I mean, Dalian obviously
And
is a.
Ugo
I was just going to mention him, Big Hugo, who was probably, if I had to pick someone, was probably my favourite player, as a younger supporter.
Egghead.
I mean, he was around in '94, then obviously played in '96. Was a sort of a real big piece of the side, but. Yeah, Hugo was fantastic and just like an absolute powerhouse of a player, and I just, yeah,
His
so sad.
physicality. Yeah, great physicality.
Yeah.
That's what I talked about him as well.
Yeah, no, he's
But yeah,
brilliant.
being blessed with some great players.
Yeah,
But over
we've
the
had some.
years. But through that period, especially. But from 1992. Then we can go all the way through the 80s, then into the 90s then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a real long line of players that really sort of, came to sort of define Villa. I do wonder though, Chad, how much winning a trophy kind of adds to that for certain players. And you kind of think of,
Oh, yeah.
someone like John McGinn now, who has served the club amazingly from the
Yeah.
Championship through to captaining us to, a Champions League quarter final, absolutely integral. But imagine that if he lifts the FA Cup in May. Like that is just
Oh,
that solidifies his legacy. And I think that is sometimes the difference in the sense of players that obviously have a real impact, but if you can get that trophy, that mark in history, I think that just absolutely cements that legacy. So fingers crossed
but
there.
you look at the likes of John McGinn and Tyrone Mings, since the championship days, they've been on a journey with us. It's been
Yeah.
a journey.
Yeah.
And for me, that'll top it off
It would, and it
for
would
their
just,
careers.
yeah. And it would, they would, those images go down in history, and I think, if you think about, 1994, the captain was Kevin Richardson, who, fantastic player, had won league titles with Arsenal, won things with Everton, came to Villa, not exactly at the end of his career, but, sort of coming towards that. Now he was a brilliant servant for Villa and Ron Atkinson, and I think he went something like 50 games without ever missing one at one stage. But the fact that he was able to lift that League Cup just meant that that image of him lifting that is then part of history. Do you know what I mean? If he hadn't have done that, people would fondly remember him. But it does have it does make a difference, I think, to that lasting legacy.
Well, also, I've actually interviewed Sean Taylor before.
Oh, brilliant.
Sean Taylor, he's a great guy. I enjoyed interviewing him.
He is. He's fantastic, isn't he? I've been lucky enough to meet myself a couple of times. He's, you know, a massive part of that, certainly, well, the 94 win. 94, you know, obviously, him and McGrath at the back and some very iconic images of in the semi-final, the second leg at Villa Park, when he scored against Tranmere and his celebration. Bit of a shame because he was not really around by 96, and I don't think
he
didn't fit into
the injury.
Yeah, I think there was some injuries. I think as well he didn't quite fit into Brian Little's. You know, Brian Little wanted to play three at the back, and I think he felt that Teal didn't quite fit into that. So it ended up being McGrath, Southgate, and Ehiog. But certainly, yeah, in that 94, like, you know, Sean Teal was, immense. Him and McGrath, what a pairing.
Let's go on to the next question. How would you compare Aston Villa's success from the 1990s to today's current position?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough one, chap, because personally, I just loved that time of winning those two trophies, because I genuinely believe that nothing comes close to that. However, now as a 43-year-old, with a 13-year-old son who comes with me every week to Villa Park, we've seen Champions League games, we've seen wonderful occasions of qualifying for Europe, we've seen great wins against top sides, and that has all been really special as well. I just feel that we need that trophy win to sort of to validate it a little bit, and I think that it would be a real shame if in 30 years' time, Chad, someone else is writing a book about Unai Emery, and we haven't won something, just to really kind of put that gloss on it. But I wouldn't knock it. The past three seasons of under Unai have been out of this world, and I would never.
It's incredible.
Yeah, when I first took my lads.
It's completely transformed the club.
And you wouldn't have first took my lad in the championship. Yeah. I mean, I just wouldn't have, I wouldn't have predicted. If I think I first took my son in the championship, and we played our first home game in the championship was against Rotherham. Jack scored a late goal, and I think Rudy Gasset scored a couple. And if you'd said to me then, in 2025, you'd be in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. You'd probably thought I was bonkers. But, so it's been amazing. I suppose there's a whole generation of Villa fans that are younger than me who haven't really seen us win a trophy. And I think that
it's
is...
It's not me.
Well, yeah, Chad, yeah. You were born the year we last won something. I think that is a real shame. For all the wonderful memories that the past couple of seasons have given us, winning a trophy will top that, no matter what anyone says.
Cool, is we own like Emery. He's not going to be at Villa forever. So we need to make the most of him. He's still here.
Absolutely. And he'll be desperate to win something, won't he? He's always, wherever he's gone, he's wanted to win trophies. And I think that is... Yeah, we've got a real, real chance of that this season, Chad, haven't we?
And what could it be? Champions League or FA Cup? Who knows?
Well, who knows? Both, Chad, both.
Or both, yeah.
Can you imagine?
You got a dare to dream
about that.
Because our fans, you wouldn't dream as fans. I don't think at the
Well,
moment there's a bit of a. We're in
and
dreamland.
that's what Unai's let us done do, isn't it? Because we
Yeah.
can. You know what I mean? We're going into a quarter final of the Champions League, you know, against
PSG.
a wonderful side. But you know what? There's no one around Bodymore Heath will be thinking that we're making up the numbers. You know, we'll be competing. There's no doubt about that. We've got a wonderful opportunity in the FA Cup. And let's face it, we're not cut adrift in the league, you know. And I think that, you know, there is absolute opportunity to challenge for fourth and fifth place. I think the results this weekend have been good for Villa, really. And I think if we can negotiate that, the demands of that Champions League quarter final around the league games at that time, I think we are, you know, we will absolutely be competitive. So. What a great time to be a Villa fan,
Yeah.
Chaz.
I don't think on our day we can beat anybody. We can't beat anyone.
And that was what, you know, in sort of going back to the book, you know, particularly the 96 side, you know, that was a season, you know, we won the League Cup, Chad, but we got to the semi-final of the FA Cup where Liverpool beat us at Old Trafford. And finished fourth in the league. So that, I mean, that was one hell of a season under Little.
That's a great season.
It was. I mean, fourth didn't mean what it means now. So, but it was still a huge achievement. And I think that actually that's the sort of season that I think we're in at the moment, you know, and if we could win something, but have those real markers of progress in all those competitions, you know, that is, yeah, real achievement. So, fingers
and
crossed.
Going back to the 1990s, who was your favourite Aston Villa player during that period?
It's a really tough one. I mean, we mentioned Hugo earlier, and I did love Hugo. I think there's, I mean, I'm just whittling them down in my head. I mean, I think David Atkinson was a huge fan of. And Dean Saunders, their partnership particularly.
Yeah.
I think Hugo. I think Mark Bosnich was, you know, across a lot of the 90s was, well, it's only now with Emi that there's anyone comes close to Bosnich for me, really. You know, you got Paul McGrath, Andy Townsend. I think if I really had to pick someone, though, you know what? It might be Ian Taylor, Chad. So Ian Taylor.
Oh, good shout.
I just think for me embodied everything about Aston Villa. Now that obviously he's a Villa fan, you know, which helped. And I think that was a really important part of that story. But I think when he came in, he just added something a little bit different, that box to box, you know, scored some crucial goals.
Yeah.
And you could just tell it meant the world to him to be out there every week pulling on that.
That's
Villa
what
shirt.
You want.
It is, isn't it? Because that's, you know, we're all looking at that thinking, God, how lucky is he, you know? And I think that he absolutely owned that. And I mean, I think, you know what, if I had to really pick one, it probably would be Ian Taylor. And it's great that he's around the club still now and a big part of things. So, yeah.
Ian Taylor. Under his pressure.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, he was. Do you remember? I remember his last game, and it was pouring with rain. There's those very famous pictures of him holding a badge and saluting the whole end, you know. And he did. He loved it, you know. And he gave everything, and that's as fans what we want, isn't it?
Ian Taylor, you can think of today. He's still heavily involved with the fan base.
Yeah, he's out in. Goes out on the European trips, doesn't he? And leads the singing in the bars and all that sort of thing. So, which is great as well, isn't it? Because he just shows that connection that he has with the club.
Nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to come to an interesting question. So since the transitional period in football in the 1990s, where do you see Aston Villa standing in English football now compared to then?
Yeah, so much has changed, hasn't it, Chad? And I think for me, I think things are beginning to change again, actually, because for a long time, I mean, when we were winning the League Cup in the 90s, there wasn't this idea of a big six or anything like that, really. There were established clubs. Liverpool had won a lot in the 80s. United were beginning to sort of win things, but it was more of an even playing field, in my opinion. I think that what then the Premier League allowed a situation to happen where this idea of a big six was formed, which I think hasn't been massively healthy for English football. But you know what, Chad? I think that is beginning to change. And I think that it is about Villa, but it's also about Newcastle. This season, it's about
Nottingham
Forest.
Forest.
Yeah. Because it's about these teams challenging that order. And actually, when you look at it, if you imagine, Newcastle, obviously, we're in the Champions League this year. Last year, Newcastle were. Forest, it looks like they're going to be next year. That is going to force people to reevaluate this really old-fashioned now idea of this big six. And you know what? I'm all for that. And I will always, I wanted Newcastle to win yesterday. And there was a lot of debate on
Me
social media.
too,
Why do you want Newcastle to win? Because you know what? It's good. It's good for English football if different
yeah.
people are
This.
winning things. Because we need to get away from this idea that, Manchester United and Spurs are somehow, part of like a big six clubs, and all this sort of thing. So I think that in terms of our standing within that, I think we are really at the forefront of challenging that. And I think that's a great position for Villa to be in.
When you look, for example, at Manchester City, it gets boring with the same teams winning all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, it's not. No one really want. Well, yeah, I guess Manchester City fans enjoyed it to a point, but I mean, ultimately, that's what you want, is that you want competitive opportunities, but you want an opportunity. You want to be able to think, you know what, my team can win something this year. It's not just about staying up, or finishing 14th. It's that level of competition, and I think that we're starting to see on a bit. There's always been oddities, hasn't there? Less in the league, for example. But I think what we're starting to see now is a bit more of a consistency in terms of teams sort of challenging that status quo.
But what it is with all that, we need to break the cycle. And what I want to see as well with some consistency, the likes of like Villa competing every season,
Yeah.
like the top five, the top six, top four.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, consistency is the right word, Chad. And that's what, in some form, ourselves, Newcastle, and we've got to be doing, because that's the difference, isn't it? Because otherwise it can just seem as a one-off, but
Well, I think in the 1990s, it sort of dominated the likes of Man United, with Alex Ferguson, with Arsenal, with Arsene Wenger. They were sort of the big teams back in the 90s
yeah,
and
and
the
I
early
mean,
2000s.
yeah, and really strong managers, who transform their clubs. And guess what? That's what Unai's doing, Chad. Because let's be clear, it's not just about, him on a Saturday picking the team. He is transforming the club. And I think if you look at, clubs that have had that consistent success, it is about that stability that managers bring. And without going on about Newcastle, they're not a bad example as well. Eddie Howe's been there for a significant amount of time. Champions League qualification, won the trophy yesterday. So I think that, it's about giving people the keys to the kingdom. And I think certainly, Unai has that full backing at the moment to do just that.
Guys, Unai Emery, he's got a good structure. behind him. And ever since, Aston Villa, it's an upward trajectory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, it's just, yeah, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Just need that trophy, Chad.
That's what we need now. That's what we need. Celebrate at Wembley or in Munich.
Oh, we've got a dream, Chad. We've got a dream.
So, do you think Aston Villa have a good chance of getting a trophy this season?
I do. I do. I think that the FA Cup offers a really, really good opportunity for that.
That's realistic, I think.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as we said earlier, we no one should be taking anything for granted about the quarter final. But let's face it, if we could have chosen who we were going to play, we would have chosen Preston. So, you know, there's a reason for that. I think we need to go there and we need to win that game. And I think then in the last four at Wembley, anything can happen. And I don't think any of the teams that we could potentially play in a potential semi-final massively concern me. You know, ironically, probably the teams that have gone out, you know, I was more worried about Newcastle and Wolves maybe away and things like that. But you know what? I think that offers a real good opportunity. And I think the Champions League, you know, I mean, you know, people think, you know, he's mad. Me, what's he on about winning the Champions League? But, you know, we are in the last eight, you know? I mean, that hasn't
But
happened by.
Unai Emery, he has actually managed PSG before, so he
He
can do his
has.
homework.
Yeah. And he, you know, and he, they will absolutely be prepared. And I think that. Don't underestimate, Chad, the power of that second leg being at Villa Park as well, because I think that
What's
that
it?
is, you know, we've seen this season what a phenomenal atmosphere we can create when we want to. And I think that, you know, as long as we're in touch, you know, after the first leg, I would absolutely back us at Villa Park. And it would, I mean, it would just be a special night, won't it, mate? It really
I've
would.
got the tickets.
Yeah, I know, all done. I mean, I'm glad they didn't mess around, actually. It's just one thing, yeah, all sorted. I mean, it's just going to be, yeah. Can't wait. Can't wait, Chad.
And we shouldn't fear anybody.
No, I'd agree. Maybe Newcastle away. That's the only. I mean, when was the last, you know, last time we won there, but no, you're right. I'm being silly, but I mean, we should have, and there's no reason to. You know, you look at that squad now. People are back from injuries. I mean, it's like the Bruges game, and like the bench was phenomenal. You know, and you
A
think,
bit of sense, yeah.
what a bench? Well, yeah,
I
you
mean,
know, I
he's
mean, it's
class.
coming on at half time, but then you think, you know, Malin
Marcus
and
Rashford.
Garcia weren't even on there. They weren't even there. You know, because they're not in the squad. So I think there is. Yeah, there's clearly a very strong squad now, and we just got to utilize that to absolutely end the season winning every possible game we can.
Because all like us, the sign Asensio and Marcus Rashford on a permanent maybe. Just to wait and see.
I think it'll be interesting. Yeah, I think Asensio, I can see. I'm not sure about Rashford. I'm not sure about Rashford.
Rashford.
Not that I think. I mean, I think he's done great, and he's probably done. You know, he's probably looked a bit more interested than I thought he might. I just think is that it's very obvious that Rashford completely changes the style that Emery plays, and it's whether he wants to go wholesale into that. I think it serves a purpose at the moment. Because it's, you know, it's a short-term thing. But if Villa were to sign Rashford, it would almost be Unai saying, right, we're going to play in a very different way now, which I can't quite see. But what do I know, ultimately?
And you went to Marco Asensio, and you came to Villa. It all depend on if he could take a wage cut and if we finish in Europe or the Champions League.
Yeah. I mean, that is going to be the big draw, isn't it, for any player, is that they want to play in the Champions League. And, you know, that obviously is still on the table at the moment. But, you know, I'm always a bit of a believer. We just got to enjoy these players for what we've got at the moment, you know. And, yeah. You know, the impact Asensio's had, and I suspect will continue to have over the end of this season, you know, let's enjoy that, you know. And then we'll see what happens in the summer, Chad.
I mean, the FA Cup. If you're going to win the FA Cup, this is the best season to do it. And even in the final, if we got to the final, we play Man City, I think we could actually beat them. Because Man City this season can be nowhere near their best.
I'd agree. I think we can cause any team problems. I have no doubt about that. And it appears, touch wood, that we seem to have stiffened up a little bit in terms of defence. So, but yeah, anyone we play, I mean, it's like PSG, you know, they've got some great players, you know, and I'm not a big fan of Bradley Barker, but we've got some great players as well. And I mean, they won't enjoy Morgan Rogers running at them, you know, and
the words.
You know, Ollie working that back line, all those sorts of things, you know. So I think it's, you know, let's, you know, we are going to be playing some good teams in these games, because good teams get far in competitions, but we are also a good team, aren't we? And I think that's what we need to remember and have faith in.
And then comes the final question.
Yeah.
So what is it like witnessing Aston Villa winning those trophies back in 94 and 96? At the old Wembley, what was it like seeing it happen?
It was just beautiful, Chad. It really was. And I think 94 particularly, because it was the first one I'd witnessed, you know. And that was, it was just, you know, real emotional stuff, Chad, because you can't almost describe it, because it's just, it's different from winning a normal, you know, a game, you know, or even a semi-final, or, you know, a game that qualifies you, but, you know, because you're watching your team walk up and collect that trophy, and it's that that shared love and that shared celebration that is just absolutely wonderful. I think 96 was different because it was so close to 94, and it was very different as well, because we weren't expected to beat United in 94. You know, everyone thought that they would walk away with it. But in 96, we were favourites to beat Leeds. And I think that made a difference as well. And it was still wonderful, but just wasn't quite as good as 2 years previously. But both times, you know, it's that collective thing, and I think that's what I love about being a Villa fan, you know, is that we all have this great shared experience, you know, and we can talk about, you know, our memories and what we love about the club, and we can see each other at Villa Park and talk about it and go on social media, you know, all this, we build this community, don't we? But then seeing that community come together at a final and a trophy being lifted is just, it's like I said earlier, it's that sort of that validation of like this is what it means, you know.
Because as a football fan, history is very important. Like, you need to hold on to nostalgia. It makes the club what it is today.
It does, Chad, it does. And we've all got our own piece in that history. And I think, you know, I've said before to people about players and managers that come and go and might have a really small impact, but they have an impact and they're part of that Aston Villa story. And I think that is such a wonderful thing. You know, if, you know, in the book, I talk about an FA Cup quarter final against Nottingham Forest, which Franz Kahr, if you remember him, was a winger we'd signed from Forest, and he scored it. We won 1-0 away from home. he scored the goal, great goal, his only goal for Villa. But you know what? He's part of that story, and I think that's really important. Is that, however, whether you're a fan, a player, a manager, we all have a part in that story of Aston Villa Football Club, and that's a great thing to be part of, isn't it?
Cool. It's Villa chooses you. It chooses you.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But are you seeing the 150th wall? I'm signed up for that.
With the plaque?
I've got one.
It's a surprise, actually. I have looked at that, yeah. I'll stop talking about it, actually. But I think that's a really good idea. And they did it in the past at the bottom of the Trinity on the flagstones. I think that, again, and you know, people like to be part of that, don't they? And talk about it and share those memories. So yeah, it'd be good when that is. I think it's being put up fairly soon, isn't it, Chad?
Yeah. So then before we finish the podcast, so everyone who wants to get the book, where can they find the book?
Okay, so available in all good bookshops. So it's called Only the Real Thing, which is based on a kind of the Coke slogan at the time, because obviously it involves around the Coca-Cola Cup. Yeah. So Only the Real Thing, Aston Villa and the Coca-Cola Cup, 1993 to 1996. It's published by Pitch Publishing, so you can get it if you're shopping online. You can buy it from Amazon and all of those sort of usual online outlets. There is plenty of stock in Birmingham Waterstones, for example, and Waterstones around the Midlands. There's actually, I've signed some copies in the Birmingham branch, so they're there for people to have. If people are struggling, they can get in touch with me direct, and I can arrange it as well. My X handle is on the under my name there. So if anyone wants to get in touch about anything, obviously they can. But yeah, really appreciate all the support so far from the Villa community, and some really lovely comments and memories that people have had around that time and remembering it through the book. So thank you. And thank you, Chad, for having me on and giving me the opportunity.
Well, thank you. You've been a great guest. I really enjoyed that interview.
Well, that's great, Chad. It's been a pleasure to be here. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, everyone, for watching. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Make sure to give it a like. Make sure to give it a share. And give us a good review if you're listening via audio. Thank you so much, Lyndon, for your time.
Pleasure, Chad.
I'm going to wrap up this episode with Villa Forever. And up the Villa.